And then I didn't get to sleep until 5 o'clock this morning.
And who decides the shift times?
Isaac Newton does.
Okay. This is Science Studio, Artemis 2, Day 4. Date is April the 4th, 2026. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to episode 4 of Science Studio Artemis 2. This is the day where they're cruising along nicely towards the moon. And to help us walk through this, we have Jose Hurtado at the Johnson Space Center in Houston. Good morning, Jose.
Good morning, Keith.
So, an exciting day today because it's getting closer and closer to Monday when they actually do a flyby. And I thought today, since the real hero of this, the real focus is the moon, I thought the audience would like a little bit of a lesson on the moon.
What our understanding is now is that early in solar system history, we're talking like 4.5 billion years ago, soon after the planet started forming, there was a proto-Earth, and it got smacked. It got hit by another protoplanet about the size of Mars. And that massive collision is what created the moon. So essentially the leftovers of that impact coalesced in a fairly short amount of time to form our moon.
Do we know where that original collision took place? Or not where, but what was the piece that hit the Earth, the proto-Earth? Where did that land up?
Well, nothing was left of it. So essentially the Earth and this proto-planet that people call Theia sort of coalesced, they exchanged material, and that remnant material, which is now our moon, sort of harbors some of the geochemical signatures and the clues that can help us understand what that object was. And that's one of the reasons why we might go back to the moon, is to understand that process.
So that's interesting. I didn't know this. So the Earth is really a composite of two original species, two original bodies. I didn't know that. That's interesting. So when we get to the analysis of the moon rocks, and we've done that already, what surprises have there been?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one of the surprises really shows sort of what the value of returning samples is and keeping some of those samples pristine. So back during the 1960s, we analyzed the lunar samples. We figured out how old the lunar crust is. We got clues as to this giant impact hypothesis. One of the things that was measured was the amount of volatiles, so things like water, those sorts of things. And those analyses back in the 60s and 70s showed that there was very little water. Fast forward to just in the last decade or so, and we've reanalyzed some of those same rocks using modern techniques, and we've found quite the opposite, that there's actually, depending on which rocks you look at, lots of volatiles, or relatively large amounts, compared to what we thought the moon was like. That's one example of a surprise. And then that's what is kind of motivating part of the reason for going to the south pole of the moon, because that's where we think there might be a lot of water locked in shadowed craters as ice.
Why do you think that? What's the evidence for that at the moment?
Yeah, we have satellite data from orbiters that are going around the moon, and they are able to take pictures of the lunar surface in different wavelengths. Some of that data shows absorption features, sort of where the material absorbs light at specific wavelengths, that's consistent with hydrogen-bearing material. Hydrogen is the main component of water. We have radar data that is consistent with the signature that you might expect from radar bouncing off of ice. Yeah, we have measurements of the temperature on the surface of the moon that shows that some places are really cold, cold enough to lock ice away.
And what temperature is the normal other parts apart from the polar system?
Yeah, so the moon has really extreme temperatures. So you could be on the equator of the moon, and depending on whether you were in sunlight or in shadow, you could be anywhere between minus, say, 200 degrees Fahrenheit to positive 200-something degrees Fahrenheit. But if you go to the poles, where there are these shadowed craters that never see sunlight, there are temperatures that can approach absolute zero.
All right. Thank you so much for being there in the morning and the afternoon, and good luck for the rest of your day. and we'll see you and talk with you tomorrow, okay?
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Go Artemis.